Hello and welcome to another Lent reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Over the last few weeks, we have been following Hannah Steele's book, Living His Story, Revealing the Extraordinary Love of God in Ordinary Ways. And we've been reflecting on the power of stories, and in particular, the power of God's story, the greatest story ever. But stories are useless if they remain untold. In my room, I have bookshelves full of books, most of which I have not yet read. I do not know the stories that they contain, and so I'm at a loss to the wonders that they contain. However, in my case, these stories may be interesting and they may even be important, but ultimately, they are not a life or death issue if I never hear those stories. If we allow God's story to remain untold, then we are not sharing the greatest news that has ever been told. And ultimately, we are failing the people around us as we do not share the story that could bring them life. When we think about witnessing, passing on God's story as we share our faith with others, we believe the lie that it is difficult or even impossible, or that it should be left to the experts as they have all the answers. But sharing our faith does not mean we need to know all the answers. One of the wonderful things about our passage this week is it shows that even Peter, a disciple who learned directly from Jesus, was constantly learning things and did not have all the answers. So I'm going to read from Acts 10. The story we're looking at is actually the whole of Acts 10, but I'm not going to read the whole passage because it's quite long. So I'm going to start by reading verses 9 to 16. And if you want, it would be good for you to read the story in your own time. So verses 9 to 16 of Acts 10. About noon the following day, as they were on the journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. So a little bit of background. At the beginning of the chapter, a man called Cornelius prays and is spoken to by God, who says that his prayers have been answered, and he has been instructed to send men to Simon Peter to hear more about his story, about God's story. And so the men are travelling to Peter, and Peter is up on the rooftop and has this vision of the sheet with the food on it. And it's important, firstly, to notice our story starts with prayer. At the beginning of the chapter, we learn of Cornelius praying. So he is praying, his story starts with prayer. He's a Gentile, a Roman centurion, and he was praying to a God that he didn't truly know. He knew bits about him, but he didn't actually know who this God was. And then obviously from the passage that I just read, we have Peter, this disciple who walked with Jesus and learned from him, who goes up to the roof to pray. So on both sides, there's this emphasis on prayer at the beginning, because prayer is important. It is the Spirit of God that leads us to witness to people about our faith. We are called to join in with the work that the Spirit is already doing. This takes the emphasis of sharing our faith away from us getting it right, to God working in and through us, His Spirit leading and guiding the way. But of course, joining in with the work of the Holy Spirit is only going to work if we listen to what He says. Peter had this bizarre vision where God stated, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." It would have been so easy for Peter to dismiss this dream as a fantasy or a dream and to ignore what he was being shown. It was just a figment of my imagination, he could have said. It also would have been easy for Peter to believe that it might have been a vision from God, but instead of listening to it, to choose to stick to following the traditions that he was used to. But as we will see, Peter listened to what God was saying to him, and then he put it into practice. But what about us? Do we seek to hear from God in prayer? And when we do, are we listening carefully to what he says? Are we keen to put what God says into practice? Prayer is so important if we are to see the people around us come to know God. Prayer is essential if we want our communities to have faith. But when we pray, we are choosing to put ourselves in God's hands as his instruments to reach out to the people we pray for. Genuine prayer for people to know God is risky, because God will ask us to step out of our comfort zones to work with him. So it's confession time for me. This week I had an opportunity to respond to the prompting of the Spirit, but I didn't even realise it until after the fact. I was talking with a friend who has suffered an injury. She was talking to me about how she had made it worse because she fell and did more damage to herself. In this moment, I could have asked if I could pray for and with her, but I didn't, because if I'm being completely honest, I wasn't open to what the Spirit could do in that moment for my friend. It was only afterwards, as I was praying and spending time with God, that I realised I had missed an opportunity to bring my faith into a conversation in a natural and non-threatening way. But as I will talk about in a few moments, there might be another opportunity coming up that I can share my faith. But the point of me telling this story isn't, you know, apart from admitting my failures, is to demonstrate how easy it is for us to miss the prompting of the Spirit if we don't remain open to him. But when we do stay open to what God has to say, the Holy Spirit can work miracles through us. So let me continue reading from Acts 10, and this time verses 23 to 35. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said, "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realise how true it is that God does not show favouritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right.'" This story is amazing, as it really demonstrates that God's love is open for everyone. The disciples were all Jewish, and so they followed the Jewish traditions and laws. This included Jewish purity laws, which stated that Jews could not mix with non-Jews because they would become impure. Peter explicitly states this to Cornelius: "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile." As I mentioned earlier, It would have been easy for Peter to dismiss his vision and stick to what he thought God's plans were, instead of realizing that God was doing something new. God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. We all have assumptions of what God is going to do, who he is going to reach out to, and how. But our thoughts about what God will do are so small and limited compared to what God actually has in mind. The story we're looking at today is the moment when the first believers began to catch a glimpse of how vast God's extraordinary love is. It is the moment that begins that historic shift in the gospel from being preached only to the Jewish people to being open to the entire world. And yet it starts with the courage of one man to follow the calling of the Holy Spirit. God showed Peter that his vision of God's kingdom was a lot smaller than God's own vision. I wonder who the Cornelius is in our own lives. Who is it that you imagine cannot be reached by the gospel, who you cannot imagine as a Christian? Is there an individual who seems too unchurchy, or is there a group of people that you cannot imagine believing in Jesus and accepting him as their saviour? Perhaps like Peter, we need to have our imaginations widened so that we can become more daring and imaginative in reaching out to these people. To have our imaginations widened and to see God working in and through us, we have to take steps of faith. We have to choose to take risks instead of seeking comfort. Faith is not a destination, but a journey. And this means that if we stay within our comfort zone and never venture outside, our faith will become stagnant. During this pandemic, we have all seen how difficult and how detrimental it is for our mental and physical state, for our mental and physical health, to stay stuck inside all day, every day. Many of us have taken a lot more walks or gone for runs outside, both for exercise and to improve our mental well-being. We are not created to be stuck in one place. And this is true of our faith as much as it is true for our physical beings. For our faith to continue to grow, we must keep taking steps of faith, following where the Holy Spirit guides us. But this is difficult because it means that we have to step outside our familiar patterns of behaviour. Where might God be prompting you to take a step of faith? Pause for a moment and think who God might be encouraging you to reach out to, or where he might be guiding you. Are we present in places where we might meet people who are seeking and searching? An interesting comment by Bishop Rick Thorpe caught my attention, as he said, "We need more stories of failure." Now, it might seem strange, but when we step out in faith, there will always be times where it seems like we have failed, or it didn't go as we expect. But at least we took the step. If we don't have stories of failure, it probably means we aren't taking the risk. Earlier, I admitted that I didn't take the opportunity to pray for my friend's injury. I could choose to beat myself up about that, or I could accept God's gift of grace and wait for the next opportunity to step out in faith. And this leads me on to my next thought. We are not alone. I am hopeful that there will be an opportunity for me to pray with my friend even today, or at least later on this week. And I would appreciate your prayers for me as I take this step out in faith. When we think about evangelism, we often think of it as a solo, lonely thing, but God calls us to work together. When Peter went to Cornelius's house, he took other believers with him. He didn't go alone. And even when we can't physically be with one another, thanks to this pandemic, we can be with one another in prayer. So please pray for me to have courage to step out in faith, and also to share your prayer requests. Perhaps you'd like to add them to the YouTube comments, and so we can all pray with one another. I can pray for you. We are more likely to successfully take steps of faith when we have someone besides us encouraging us to step out. God does not expect us to travel alone. He has given us the Holy Spirit as our constant companion, and he has given us other people to connect with along the way. Having other people journeying with us as we step out in faith also helps keep us accountable and stops us from shying away from the opportunities presented. I will be updating you with the results of my conversations next week, and so hopefully I will be staying accountable to you. And whether it's a success or a failure, it's important that we keep each other informed so that we encourage and support and challenge each other into greater steps of faith. I'm going to continue reading from Acts 10, verses 44 to 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have just received the Holy Spirit, just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. As I said earlier, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, remarkable, miraculous things may happen. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Peter hadn't even finished explaining the gospel to Cornelius and those with him before everyone started speaking in tongues and praising God. The Holy Spirit was already working in these people before Peter even arrived. Peter was merely joining in with God's work. And this meant that Peter was in the amazing position of seeing the results of God's work in their lives. Now, we will not always have experiences like this. However, it is certainly true that we will never have experiences like this if we don't step out in faith and follow the Holy Spirit's direction. We sometimes like to believe that we can control who hears the gospel and how. We think we can structure it into programs and events. And of course, God does work in and through these things, but he's not limited to them. John Taylor spoke about mission, saying, "Mission is often described as if it were the planned extension of an old building. But in fact, it has usually been more like an unexpected explosion." The Holy Spirit often works like an unexpected explosion. We cannot predict how he works. We cannot limit the scope of his impact. Where might the Holy Spirit break through boundaries and work in the hearts of those around you? Who might he be calling you to join him in reaching? Let's be willing to listen and look for the signs and opportunities of where he might be at work and ask him how we can join in. Amen.